Pinecast. Joining me today are the Cunino 88. So you can follow him on Twitter at Hello Mark.
Hello Joaquin.
It's a pleasure having you on.
It's good to see you too.
We also have Mr. Kyle Huff Nasty Huff Nagel. How are you, Kyle?
Always a pleasure. Good to be here. Good to be seen.
Indeed, indeed. So it must be nice for you guys, sitting atop the Premier League with 3 points, something that me, the Arsenal fan, would know nothing about. Let's start off with your storyline, Kyle. You guys had, let's say, a bit of a boring match, but you got the result. A little special piece of quality from a special Brazilian got the job done for you.
Yeah, boring is a definite understatement. The match was atrocious through 45 minutes. Trying to pull ourselves out of the, you know, last 90 minutes at the end of the season, Gerard send-off. Quite frankly, we couldn't have asked for more with more than 3 or 4 debutants on the pitch. They came in, they got stuck in. Joe Gomez especially, I think, was exceptional. On top of that, you had Ibrahim Afellay, from Stoke, who was extremely impressive, but Liverpool showed what they could do. They got the job done at the end of the day, and it did take a moment of magic from Felipe Coutinho to decide the match. But you know, here we are with 3 points. We can't argue.
Yeah, I mean, all that matters at the end of the day is that you get the points, and so abysmal display, you know, lackluster, whatever, but you still got the win, and what matters is that you figure out in due time. Mark, what do you think about Liverpool's performance?
Well, I mean, just to mirror your sentiment, 3 points is what matters.
before we get to your team.
Yeah, as I am familiar with. But I thought that, you know, they didn't show a lot of the goal to Stoke, which was good, despite the fact that they were short on what their attacking power is going to be.
And Lovren actually had a brilliant game as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to talk about the back line, you know.
That's good for him, and hopefully
so
that can be consistent.
Something as a 20 million pound, you know, defensive.
You hope he can figure out that out by the second
back,
season.
Like you have to want to see something from him, which he didn't really show much last
year. Right, he
season.
Was a terrible signing. He's one of the worst signings of the season last year in terms of his performance and not only how many matches you got out of him. So he needed to have the second season because
right.
he's not lived up to the price tag so far. And it's not like he came from a different league either. So you guys need that. It's a dire need for Liverpool to have him to step up.
He's definitely one of those players who needs the confidence. And it showed a lot of guts for Rodgers to start him on the first match of the season, and you know, turned out to be a good display. Maybe he'll carry that confidence forward.
I mean, I guess you really got to talk about you know, who wasn't set as a starting 11 from the as a center back. You have a lot of players that are kind of left out. Moreno obviously not starting as a right back with you know, Joe Gomez starting. The 18-year-old from...
So how do you feel about that?
From Charlton. You know, in the preseason, I think he definitely surprised a lot of supporters. I think he also surprised a lot of people that were Charlton supporters of how he could make that next step up. Moreno is obviously definitely a proven right back in the Premiership. Had some mistakes against City early on last season.
Prone to mistakes.
I mean, I'd say moderately. He's a good attacking fullback. He hasn't shown like the consistency to be a top-level defender in the Premier League. But he's a talented player.
Something as you'd expect from like a John Anarise or any other attacking fullback. But
a bit.
But Gomez seemed like he was sound and solid, you know, very comfortable on the ball, made some mistakes. But as a teenager, you'd expect that from him, right? Whenever you switch the field, I think Nathaniel Clyne was immense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he made a lot of very intelligent runs forward, but was also caught out very far forward from time to time, especially working on the same side as Jordan.
Fair enough. All right, so who is your man of the match? All right, goal aside, because I thought that I felt like Coutinho didn't have a great game. A lot of people were slating him even through midway through the second half. Didn't think he'd played a great game overall.
I mean, what, 2 minutes did, before but one he of did the have, biggest misses?
Well, yeah, and the thing is he was about to be subbed out, you know. Your boy,
I would go Brendan ahead and say my man of the match.
I mean, I'm saying goal aside. Obviously, the goal makes goal him aside. The man of the match. I'm saying goal aside, who played the best for you on the day, the best overall performance? Because the goal showed the quality that Coutinho has, but he was not the best player over the course of the night.
The person that shoulders the most burden, has the most burden on his shoulders, is probably Adam Lallana. I think Lallana, if he's fit, should be starting every game. With the price tag they paid for him, and basically the knowledge that he has of the game and the players that are around him, I think that Adam Lallana should be playing every game. Whether he's the man of the match, I don't know. I think that Jordan Ibe obviously made a lot of intelligent runs, held on to the ball well. Same thing with Joe Gomez. And I think Jordan Henderson spread the ball a few times.
All right, but we're asking for the man of the match. This isn't the Liverpool podcast. We're hearing enough about this team.
Screw Liverpool.
I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I mean, like, I feel you. So you think that Lallana was the man that dictated the pace? I mean, he was the guy for you, or
not
is
at all? I think it's Christian Benteke. I think Christian Benteke held up the ball well. I think he distributed well enough that coming into his first game in the Premiership, he did the job well.
I mean, let's say that's not his first game in the Premiership, but I mean, for you guys in the Premiership, I mean, he's played several seasons at.
Now you're arguing semantics. Villa.
Well, you said his first game in the Premiership. It's a difference of a player that comes in from a different league, the adaptation. That's what we're talking about. Like Lovren, you expect foreign defenders to have an acclimation period because they come in from different leagues. They might not be used to the physicality. You know, when you have these guys together, you know, part of the reason you buy from the Premier League is because they have that experience already.
He's a proven player. I agree with that. But I mean, you got to think, like, we obviously have seen him in the preseason.
Are you pretty happy
with
him?
We've only seen him for one game in the preseason, right? One game against Swindon. He scored a cracker. Absolute cracker.
Yeah, that was one hell of a goal.
All right? But to see him, you know, go on a sunny day at the Britannia.
It wasn't a Wednesday in March, man.
He didn't make any headlines. But he held out the ball well, and he did well for the system that Rodgers put out there. So I would say Christian Benteke.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to one Manchester United.
Oh, yeah.
Who also limped across the line with a valuable win. I mean, look, I would have happily limped across the line if Arsenal could have pulled off a win. So I'm still fully jealous in all of these regards. So, but what do you think about the team performance? Now, please don't break down, like, Rafael's not there anymore, but you know what I'm saying? Like, just give me the big picture stuff, please.
Big picture stuff. Once again, we showed a serious lack of attacking prowess. We seemed to repeat the same mistakes throughout the match over and over and expected different results, which is the definition of insanity. So,
is that anything any different than you guys have been doing, though?
Well, I mean, against certain teams, the tactic works, and I think that's the problem, is that we're not as flexible as we used to be, and frankly, we're not a very good counterattacking team, which is the bread and butter of Man United.
So what do you guys lack it? Because if I look at this, I mean, let's talk about this, Kyle. Man United have been lacking one up front, lacking at center back, lacking a few different areas, and now they've also gone and shipped out a few players. I mean, how many players do you think, Kyle, does Man United need to challenge? Well, definitely to get into the picture of the title hunt, because I think everyone can agree, currently as the squad is built, you're still lacking a few players.
Oh, yeah.
I personally don't think that it really comes down to the players that are out there, because Man United have always attracted a good amount of attacking players,
sure,
of proper defensive players, and I think it's a testament of being able to pick up Bastian Schweinsteiger. Just shows what you can do, though, as having kind of a field marshal.
I mean, Mata, Di Maria, these are all great name signings.
Di Maria, maybe. Great. I don't know. Di Maria, I think, doesn't really hold the same torch to Schweinsteiger. Like, he hasn't really.
I mean, but he's the record the signing, experience. But he costs twice as much.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
You know, he costs twice as much.
Price is irrelevant. Argentinian South Americans have a really bad record in the Premier League. And
especially when you pick
what
them
about Mascherano? What about Tevez? Physical. I don't think so.
Oh yeah. How's Kun Aguero doing at Man City?
I mean, they did a lot better.
Whatever. They got the chump, man.
Don't you guys want Otamendi? I mean, what the fuck? These are
I'm just saying, I think that like it's not so much the players that are involved. I think it's more or less about the manager, because I think Moyes' squad maybe wasn't the best. He was inheriting an aging squad. I think maybe his tactics weren't always
ancient
there.
Tactics
however,
too. 80
I think
crosses against, you know.
But he
West
was
Brom
also very very he was put up to the.
So
to
what's
the
so what's Earthworm Jim's problem?
I think that Moyes had just as good of a
well fuck Moyes he's been gone
opportunity
for
that Van Gaal has but Van Gaal has got
way more
time.
Money
Van Gaal has
been given
time that Moyes
way more
did
money.
Not have
Moyes could never attract the players that Louis Van Gaal has been able to attract, which is exactly why
Fellaini's not one of your better players that you have in the middle of your park.
He is one of our better players, but he's no Bastian Schweinsteiger in essence in title
proven in
know?
The premiership huh?
Proven in the premiership I guess, but you know Bastian Schweinsteiger is a midfield general who's won the Champions
but
League,
he only got Fellaini because
Cup.
He was his old manager
right
let's not, no, let's not
and yet he failed to bring the best out of the one player who he was recently known for making successful, and it just was baffling. And you know, not to mention, I always bring up after the Man City match the fact that he said we aspire to play like them. I mean, we're Manchester United, why,
right?
Why the hell
no,
are
no,
we
no,
going to
no.
aspire
Who?
To play
no,
like
that,
Man City?
That was no, that was absurd. Yeah. That was Moyes.
When Moyes said he.
But look, here's the thing: is that Van Gaal, although he does bring in a few more than Moyes does, that's not saying much because Moyes did shit. Look, Louis Van Gaal also has plenty of players that don't want to play for him.
Right?
You know, he's currently, I mean, according to tabloid reports. Right, I mean, yeah. He's turning the Spanish
the
players
rags,
against
to the
him.
Rags.
Look,
yeah.
you currently have your most valuable player, the player that is worth the most value in the open transfer market and open defiance, and doesn't want to play for him.
Yeah,
and that's David De Gea, because he's right now he's currently a goalkeeper that could get you 50 fucking million pounds. I mean, it could be absurd
them.
Money. It would
and
be
you're going to lose
right.
him for nothing at the end of this.
Absolutely,
season.
And that's what's going to happen. And the Spanish are happy to wait it out now with the saga. They're like, fuck it, that money could be spent elsewhere. We can wait a year.
Yeah, I understand. I don't even know where that situation starts and ends. Like, it's just been a whole clusterfuck of
I mean, so is it like Klopp player like prayer circle time or what's the
prayer circle? I mean, we'll see what happens at the end of the season. Real Madrid are definitely not going to even cough up the 23 mil that we're asking for, 25 mil that we're asking for right now. They know they need to only wait a year to get the goalkeeper who will last them the next 20 years, like
10 years.
10 years.
Well,
but yeah.
It always reminds me of kind of what happened to Victor Valdez, what happened to Pepe Reina. Like, you have these like proper keepers that would do brilliantly at any other major club that could be, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think vying for
something
European championships.
You still haven't answered my question.
Why have they not been able to come up? Look at what's happening at Chelsea right now.
We're not talking about Chelsea. We're not getting to Chelsea yet.
And doing a phenomenal job, and he's not necessarily known as being
who?
A first starting
Courtois. Who are you talking about?
Who are you talking about? Yeah.
Who am I talking about?
Yeah. Who are you talking about?
I don't know who you talking about.
Dramatic pause.
That's how I like.
No, who the fuck are you talking about at Chelsea?
Yeah.
Begovic.
Oh.
Begovic. Okay, well, he's a backup. No.
He's
Why
a backup. He's not a backup against City next weekend, now is he?
No, he isn't anymore. Nice. But look, we're not on City right now. Okay, yeah. I asked you how many players does United need, and you haven't given me an answer. So give me a number.
Well, if you're talking about a
how many
keeper,
players,
if you're talking about a keeper, then they probably need 3 or 4.
Okay.
I mean, are you talking about a keeper? I just asked you for a number.
Anything can happen. Any.
What are the positions
any time,
and how many?
Any week.
So 3, 4. What positions?
How many? Players they need to actually compete.
Yes.
For the
what do they need? What does their team need? If you were a United fan, how many players would you want?
If you're a United fan, your life would be
a
lot better.
I would say 12 because you need to flush everyone.
Good answer. Now,
it's all shit.
Now, anyway, yeah. so now if you were somehow you're born into a terrible disease and you had to be a United fan, how many players do you think they're missing in their starting 11?
You know, I think it's not a matter of really putting together the right players as it is. To, all right,
if you're not going to give me a fucking answer, we'll move on because that's
Well, if you're not going to let me finish, then I'm going to...
But you're not giving me a number.
I can't give you a number, because quite frankly, I think that they have done an amazing amount of business, bringing Schneiderlin, bringing Schweinsteiger, bidding, Memphis Depay. I think they brought in a lot of great players and held on to a lot of amazing players as well. However, is this all going to be a cohesive unit? I don't know about that.
So what do you say? Possibly zero. As long as the
no, but I mean, though, there's obviously
that's the most fickle part. Yeah.
No, they need a striker. They can't rely on having Rooney as the only fucking striker for the whole season.
England starting striker.
They need.
Hey man, I have one striker.
The one poaching striker that I'm guaranteeing you that like.
He's a versatile player.
Out of the odds for
they were not. They didn't have enough with him and Van Persie and Falcao last season. Well, now Van Persie and Falcao.
Let's face the reality of that situation: is that Van Persie and Falcao were not performing. So
well, this is true. Yeah. But I'm saying it wasn't enough with those three. Right. So clearly, you think you need a striker, right?
I think we could. I mean, they're flirting with Harry Kane right now. I would not reject the possibility of Harry Kane coming over.
I know you guys love an Arsenal Youth Academy product.
Yeah, well, you know, anything to kind of rub salt in the wound. But we've lost some really good players over the years, and I would like to see us bring in some...
So how many in your starting 11? What are the three positions?
We need a center back. Okay. Yeah. We need a right winger.
Sure.
Okay. And we need a striker.
Okay. Yeah. So that's three. Thank you for answering your question.
Yeah. There you go.
Awesome.
Sorry, I don't want your dog to take a shit. Don't know how that works.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's move on to one certain Chelsea where a certain Mourinho, Jose Maureen, whatever his preferred name is. Is making headlines for all the wrong reasons, as usual, deflecting any attention from his sorry-ass Chelsea team, who I was excited about making fun of when they dropped points, only for Arsenal to go ahead and shit the bed the following day.
Yeah, yeah. You were talking about the champions, though.
But we're talking about the champions, and they fucked up. They dropped points.
Yeah.
They dropped points.
And, you know, they
Arsenal jump points?
But your two didn't.
Their whole season last season relied on a good start, you know, in the very opposite fashion of how Arsenal have been playing. You know, they rely on a good start and they carry that. Yeah. Because if they can't park the bus at the bottom end of the season, are they going to be able to rely on Eden Hazard to produce the goals?
Probably
are they
going
to rely on Willian to produce the goals? I don't think so. And are they going to rely on a unhealthy Diego Costa provide the goals.
How many goals does Willian really produce?
That's right. That's my point.
Doesn't make them.
But then,
right?
But they want that third option in attack who can score. That's absolutely who they're looking for.
And I just think it's absurd.
Let's get back to trivial ass Mourinho getting off, deflecting attention away from his team's shitty ass performance by demoting one Eva Carneros.
Unjustified.
And then making excuses about how her influence in the dressing room is affecting the players. Just to add,
insult
compound the misery.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Is that a fact? Yeah. Is that really a fact?
Those are the excuses that are being made by the club. Okay. Yeah, it's all this kind of stuff.
I think that obviously as someone that's sitting there like trying to make the best of this multi-million dollar investments that the club has out there. Like, if you're not going to go out there and tend to them, whether it's a head injury, whether it's a hamstring injury, why are you not taking the most precaution that you could possible to get in there?
But they didn't fail because of injuries.
No, but Mourinho's whole thing was like, oh, she went out too early, and then like it was an added time.
Oh, I'm sorry that your player is faking fucking injury.
Like,
stop groaning
Mourinho's
on the ground.
Mourinho's thing was that he was supposed to be like, oh, why is she going out there? They don't understand the game, right? I don't understand that.
Oh,
like,
she's blaming her for not understanding the game because she's a woman?
Andy Gray got completely fucking lambasted from Sky Sports, right? For making a sexist comment like that. I'm not saying that Mourinho's making a sexist comment, but she's doing a fucking job. Let her do her fucking job.
Right. And if you're the one who instructs your fucking players, I mean, it's not like he's against Hazard diving and sitting there laying on the ground. Like, medical staff is going to treat when a player goes down, they're going to go out and treat them as they're supposed to.
You especially know? Once you're a star player as well, from Chelsea's standpoint.
Well, look. Is there another situation where, look at Mourinho since he left Chelsea, right? How many seasons did you do at Chelsea? Four?
The previous stint? Okay, yeah.
Around four, right? Yeah. He won those titles, he missed one, and he was out.
Yeah.
Right? Goes to Inter, you know, wins the treble or whatever, and everyone fucking is swinging from his dick, mm-hmm. and he... You know, third year, sours everybody. The whole Italian press hates him. He has to bounce, right? Mm-hmm. Jumps to Real Madrid, wins one league title the second year. Third year, he's bounced. His third year back at Chelsea. Look, it's his fucking cycle now because he's a cynical asshole.
Well, he's no Rafa Benitez, is he?
Rafa loves fucking sweeping up Jose's messes.
He's doing a great job of really quelling down the whole transfer market right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is holding everything up. It seems like all the action is waiting. We're going to hit the transfer market in a minute. Let's finish up. Let's round out the top four with Arsenal's sorry-ass performance and loss to West Ham. Where are you going to start? I want to start with the part where I slept through it, and fucking I'm so happy that I did not watch this shit live. I was out for a concert until about 2 hours before the match, and I came back with full intent of staying up for it, and then I didn't, only to wake up
to a
terrible, terrible result, but I'm pretty happy about it.
It was kind of your fault that they lost. They were looking for you, man. They were waiting for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You for know, all these at the Fox, that was it was my bad. I left you with these assholes without me being there as a chaperone. Yeah.
I would have. I was supposed to go to that, I think.
You don't know how much... You don't know how much I laughed that day. I just laughed full-heartedly.
And I slept right through all of it.
We had some sort of a bond between Liverpool and Manchester United.
Yeah, for once. To watch those highlights, it was almost like Christmas again, you know? Or maybe even like a
birthday.
Yeah.
Besides the point, there weren't very many good performances to talk about from Arsenal. You know, the liveliest player was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Looks a bright talent, but he also was guilty of giving away the ball in a very viable situation and leading to a goal. So it's a bit of a give and take, but no one covered themselves in glory. The players certainly came out pretty flat concerning what our aspirations are for this season.
I think that you really have to look at someone that's been burdening the entire weight of the club, that is Giroud, has been Giroud for the past two or three seasons.
So what's the problem with him?
I think, quite frankly, you can't rely on him that often. You have people like...
I think he's going to be part of a stable of strikers. Ozil
between,
I think we're still short one, we're short a player.
Who are you short of?
That's a striker.
And where do you put him?
No, we're short number nine. We need another option because Welbeck is not a viable option if you're trying to be a championship team.
So you have Welbeck. You have
number nines,
garbage.
we have four options through the middle. And then you've got
Chamberlain, right?
You got that's not what I'm talking about.
Hold on.
We're talking about strikers, okay? Don't fucking go off onto tangents like this. We're sticking on where
these
we're
are all people that could be playing central striker.
What, you're going to go with Jack Wilshere playing central striker?
No, I'm not talking about a hospital patient that happens to have
Jack Wheelchair?
a random encounter to be an Arsenal.
We currently have three players who generally can play through the middle. Technically four if you include Alexis. There's Olivier Giroud and... Danny Welbeck, who are the traditional number nines that we have. Those are the only two.
How secure do you think Alexis Sanchez is to you guys?
He's very secure, but he's a wing option. Yeah. What do you mean secure?
I'm just saying, how secure is he to your club?
Plenty secure. He's not going anywhere.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Okay, you worry about that, and if you want to make a wager on something like that.
I think that Monaco or PSG or Chelsea will probably be knocking on that door in the next 6 months in the wintertime.
He's not leaving in the winter.
Look at this fucking speculation from this guy. Yeah, yeah. He might leave and go to Liverpool. I'm sure that'll happen.
I don't want him. No,
right? Really? Scorned lovers, right? Yeah. What weren't they swinging from his nuts last summer when they were praying they would get him?
Oh, last summer when we had Luis Suarez?
Oh, you mean when you knew you were going to lose Suarez and were trying to recoup something in return? It's pretty obvious.
I'll take a fully fit Daniel Sturridge over
Yeah, all right. You enjoy that. You enjoy
typical Scouse delusion.
It's Bellatilian. Pro Bellatilian.
Does he have a loan yet? Is he gone?
No.
No, but you know what? Quite frankly, I think Dzeko's gone, right? And then, quite frankly, we got Who else is it? Bruni's gone.
But so Mark, what do you think about the Arsenal performance?
What I think about the Arsenal, I mean, it was perplexing, honestly. I could not... look, I guess Lee Dixon must have put it best, or whoever the commentator was at the time, but they said, look, when Arsenal's asked a question, they don't have an answer. And it's all gravy when they have taken the lead themselves and managed to control the match and display some quite entertaining football, but when it's time to grind out a result, which most the bells of the top and teams
don't really, yeah,
which most of the top teams had to do this first week because we had extensive preseason tours. Arsenal's asked a question. They go to West Ham. West Ham played really well.
West Ham have a great.
We were at home.
Yeah, really you were at home. West Ham played really well. Ozil was in the pocket of a 16-year-old.
Hold on, did you? You just reading that off the headlines, or did you watch that? I looked through. He was not in the park.
We watched that game.
Yes, we watched that game.
Yeah, but I watched it in retrospect.
In retrospect, Ozil looks worse against the 16-year-old.
I don't know.
But you know what?
Like, I think it's overblown. People love whenever he goes mildly absent. People act like mildly absent.
Who, the German international.
Oh, mildly absent. Man, he was invisible that match.
Look, and that's a critique, and I agree with that.
No, he was invisible. They brought on Alexis Sanchez with 20, 30 minutes left, which was
bullshit
in the match.
Because he just came back from his holidays.
But he still brought more life to that team.
Well, of course he does. He brings more life to any team. He brings more life to Barcelona.
Look, I think it's unfair. Look, Peter Cech, okay, that second goal, he should take all the blame. But they didn't close down after the Oxlade-Chamberlain muff.
Yeah.
They left him really exposed in that free kick. He still made some horrible decisions. But you know what? At Chelsea, he's very much used to having that bus parked and being able to rely on those center backs.
True. Can we talk about for a second how much I thought that Peter Cech was really going to be the signing of the season? And quite frankly, I don't know if it's the backline that's shepherding him, but it didn't happen.
It's one game. He looked great.
But it was relevant, and it's still difficult to say that Peter Cech is going to be able to do well. Look at what happened at Chelsea with Begovic. He's going to have to start against City.
You and Begovic.
Who gives a fuck about Begovic?
He's going to have to start against City on the weekend.
So he's going to have a game, and then Courtois is going to come right back in.
Is it only a one-match ban?
Yes, a one-match ban.
Foul. Okay.
Well, professional foul, one-match ban. You and me both. But it's going to be fascinating.
Courtois is going to be right back in immediately.
Well, this
Begovic will never steal that spot.
We can make a wager anytime you want.
But it doesn't matter. You're still going, signing onto this club. To go and just play back up
because,
to Courtois.
Because there's always a chance. Someone can get injured. You can play for the rest of the season.
Go play back up to Courtois.
Okay.
And then Courtois gets the random red card.
I think we're kind of
And then you're
the point
starting at City.
But who gives a fuck? He's a Premier League tested goalkeeper. What's your point?
We're kind of missing
the
point.
I'm just saying
here.
That who in anyone's right mind would have thought that as a backup keeper, especially at the level that they are, whenever it's like this could potentially...
Begovic made his choice
for
trophies,
the season.
He made
his choice for the season.
Peter Cech, no. One, it won't decide the fucking season because nothing gets decided in the second week. And look.
Peter Cech doesn't win or lose the fucking league for you.
No. Look, it's and the thing
pointer.
Is, look,
it's
Peter
a
Peter Cech
pointer right here.
Peter Cech chose to stick around at Chelsea for one more season because he knew, look, maybe we're not going to do it, but I think we're going to win the league this year. Mm-hmm. Anything happens to Courtois, loss of form, or an injury, and I'm right back in because he's already in good stead. People go to these teams for that reason all the fucking time, you know? Ospina went to Arsenal. He was hoping to find a chance to get the first...
Why is Ospina fucking starting for you?
Because Peter Cech is a better fucking goalkeeper than Ospina.
Oh, are you going to say that after the first week?
One match. Yeah. He's played a fucking decade in the league, and he's won how many titles?
I think you're
He's a better fucking goalkeeper.
I think you're being...
You were just saying how he was going to be the best signing of the season, and now one fucking goal that comes in that's his fault, you're going to...
Two. That's two goals, not one.
Like I said, you can lay a lot of blame on his decision to come out, but at the end of the day... He didn't lose that defense. He didn't lose that striker.
It's completely different. It's completely different because it's not about how good of a goalkeeper he is.
Sure it
is.
That's what we're talking about.
No, that's not at all. How does he assimilate into that system?
And you've seen two matches.
And all he plays well.
Is one. And no, it's one.
What, the Community Shield against Chelsea doesn't count for a match to like watch him and assess him with?
The Mickey Mouse Cup, I don't give a shit about
it's,
that.
It was a game that they both teams took seriously.
You and Chelsea, Arsenal and Chelsea only care about that cup. I don't...
It's yeah, only because you're not only because you're not
it's
playing
not a trophy. That's a shield. That's a community
it's
shield.
It's a shield, and you haven't played for it in a long time. So I might you must
you
be
mean,
forgetting
you mean that one time that John Arnerstay went like.
When was what decade was that in?
Yeah, whenever John Arnerice went, what was that, 60, 70 yards against Chelsea? I think he scanned the entire Chelsea midfield and back line.
I asked you what decade.
Decade.
Yeah, I mean, was that? Yeah, I mean, it was in like. I mean, you're talking about John Arise.
So that's you're talking maybe about 2007, right?
All right, so 8 years ago.
2006 FA Cup winners, right?
FA Cup,
yeah, that's a ways back. It's a ways back, but okay. I feel you. Well, that's good.
It was a hell of a goal. I'd recommend watching it again. Tell your
grandkids. Rise was known for some screamers. He's got one hell of a boot on him. That one thing he could kick the shit out of a fucking ball.
Yeah, that's true.
That's one thing he
couldn't defend
got
to save his life. But hey,
so guys, were there any other teams that really impressed you in the opening weekend? Was there anyone that really surprised you per se, or maybe a performance?
Leicester was pretty impressive. I liked Mahrez out there.
Yeah,
yeah. Crystal Palace. I called it. Caballé and Alan Pardew, man, they make a good team.
You know, they know how to play together. That was a wise investment for them.
Yeah, Crystal Palace put on one of the best displays of the weekend. That is for sure. But I think it goes to Man City, right? They completely dominated West Brom.
They fucking smashed.
They just dominated them.
Give a shout out to Tottenham. They did not deserve to lose that game. They really brought the game to Man United.
They didn't play great either. It was as stale as a nil.
We're talking about like serial underachievers, you know.
Three points on that. So I think that Tottenham really were giving them hell.
Spurs are shit.
To begin with, well, United are shit.
But you know what? West Ham defended really well in those last 20, 30 minutes when Alexis Sanchez came on and caused a whole bunch of trouble. West Ham defended really well. I got to say, they did not give him an inch. On that one, or as we say in football terms, a millimeter.
Right.
Well, let's move on. The Premier League was a lot of fun this week. There's a little bit of other action going on with some of the preseason stuff. Something a little more than just preseason was the UEFA Super Cup, which turned into one hell of an affair. You know, regular time saw 8 goals.
Is that the game of the season?
So far.
It's an
early contender. It's an early contender for game of the season.
It was fantastic.
Match of the season. But yeah, I mean, it was, look, it very impressive. I tip my hat to Sevilla for mounting the comeback. Like, not too many people have the wherewithal or the resources to be able to come back from being down 4-1 to Barcelona. So... My hat is off to them. I wish they'd pulled it off.
Weren't the first 3 goals all free kicks? I mean, when's the last time you saw
Or Barca, yeah.
No. It was between
the match. Yeah, yeah.
First three of the match.
Yeah, of the match. But
they were all very well taken free kicks.
Yeah. I mean, the roller coaster of emotions from scoring first and then to going 2-1 down within the first 20 minutes is huge. And the fact that they then continued to concede goals and then claw their way back, that was one hell of a performance. It was too bad they lost, but you can't go down 4 goals to Barcelona.
And look, they had chances late. They had chances late even after they got scored on in extra time to even it up. There was a header for someone in the box on a great ball through. There was a good cross that came in that was it Adel Rami or something?
Yeah.
Just messed up, went off his knee. And basically all he did was get his body in front of it and he still shanked it. So,
yeah.
I mean, they had chances and they went, you know, put up a good fighting spirit. And look, Sevilla know how to play and know how to attack. And they've got some good, you know, valuable options.
You wouldn't be in the UEFA Super Cup if you was in the UEFA Super Cup.
Yeah, and that's
Europa
League
champion
so many years
in a row.
They won 2 years in a row.
You have two great teams going head-to-head against each other. And quite frankly, it comes to a photo finish, obviously, right? But at the same time, it's quite frankly, both these teams are more than capable, especially like before the season even starts, to be able to compete against one another.
Absolutely, but I don't want to take anything away from what Sevilla were able to do in those last 30 minutes of the match. But I will say that Barcelona's defense during preseason and up to this match, considered understandably, it's still considered preseason, is shaky. their defense is looking real shaky. And it looks like they got real comfortable relying on that front three to solve all their problems. And they got real shaky. And if they keep it up like this, it's going to be a tough season for them.
Isn't that what Arsenal's all been, like, been about? Like, I don't know.
Hey,
like,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
Shit,
if we're
hanging out in the front,
if we're pointing fingers here, then yeah, absolutely. But the fact of the matter is, Atletico have made a lot of money over the transfer season, saved a lot of money, and spent a lot of money, and they look great.
They've spent well.
Yeah.
For the past 5 to 10 years, they've spent very well.
Spent very well. They're very smart, all in the mold of Simeone. We have Real Madrid,
They're doing that before Simeone. All the Torres business, the Kun Aguero business, the Forlan business, the Diego Costa business.
Well, but I mean the purchases now are fitting
saying is that Simeone hasn't brought that. He's given the team an attitude, but he has not been the one who's defined that.
Absolutely, but he has turned
that
into trophies.
He's turning into trophies. And look, Atletico has played well. They also won the Europa League, you know, not that long ago, only a few years ago when they were
Champions
playing.
Champions League final, let's not forget.
Remember, they played Chelsea in the Super Cup when they won the Europa League.
That's right.
So, you know, Falcao destroyed them then. No wonder they went for him now.
Yeah.
So
they're still feeling the sting of that match, that's for sure.
Classic Torres syndrome, huh?
Totally. I mean, Torres Mark II or what? Falcao?
I don't know. I mean, Torres, Drogba, just like, but those players, like, they can just...
Torres at Chelsea.
Well, yeah, Torres at Chelsea.
I mean, so is Falcao.
Just buy up whoever the fuck they want.
I'm just saying, is Falcao the next...
My argument is null and void at this point, yeah.
Falcao, next Torres... Most likely. I mean,
that's what he's been so far.
Will Falcao actually be able to come good playing through Chelsea's
system?
He should get more chances.
Here's the difference.
I think so.
Falcao wasn't purchased as a marquee signing to be the next best thing at Chelsea.
Falcao was purchased as a backup
to Diego Costa. So the level of success for him is much, you know, the bar of success is much lower for him. If maybe he puts out, like, you know, 6 or 7
and
goals.
He is like Samson. I mean, he lost his string. Cut his hair. It was already fucked.
Yeah.
And now
where
he
is his Delilah hair. It's done. I want to know. And it's I bet you it is that woman in the physio room.
Now you want sex. Way to turn off our female population.
Exactly.
Mark, you were banned from the Pinecast.
Yeah, well, I'm just messing around, ladies, you know. But...
You can direct all his reviews to Canino88.
What is it,
on
Craig Burley, who said he'd get the tattoo if Fernando Torres?
And he got the fake tattoo,
right? But I remember the wager was made by Sid Lowe, who had started it by saying that Fernando Torres is going to be a success at Atletico, but held that success to a different standard than he would have going into Chelsea for 50 mil. And I think that that's how we should judge Falcao.
Of course, differing standards.
Yes, absolutely. If he puts in 7-8 goals this season, that's fantastic for him.
Considering how many minutes he's going to get and where he's playing, he has to be in the double digits. If not, it's a failure.
They're not even... I mean, are they going to play Remy ahead of him at
this
point?
It's all 20-20 in hindsight, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, there's no way you're going to say that you
Now we're asking for a little foresight. Now we're going to ask for a little
foresight. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a second.
That he's going to be able to score 10 goals?
Or and be considered a success be able to score that? 5 goals at Chelsea.
Look,
shit. I'll take the over on 5 goals for Falcao myself. Across all competitions, what he's going to score this year? Yeah, I would say over 5.
That's fair, but what? I mean... Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm saying that's a low bar.
If he scores a bunch of goals in the Capital One Cup and they get a trophy from that, hey, great. Great for him.
Yeah, if he gets 10 goals.
For us to expect him to be the same player that he was before, El Tigre is buried. You know, he won't reach those heights probably ever again because of the injury. I just don't see it. But that being said, for what they paid for him, which was almost nothing...
but they're paying his wages like 250k or 300k. I mean, whatever.
What are wages to a club like Chelsea?
To a club like United. Oh no, yeah, we'll pay him this fucking crazy money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fucking absurd. It's absurd.
We ended up making a profit on the financial
year. Let's move on. Transfer window.
Okay.
Okay.
Good business, bad business, or what?
We can do a little good business, bad business.
That's what I'm just saying. You want to talk good business? Di Maria making a profit on that sale in this current financial year?
You guys made a profit on
it? The base? Yeah. We did, because we cut off the amount of money that we would have spent on his salary, and we sold him for a good, you know,
Don't give me the cut rate salary.
But if you're asking about good business, that's exactly what it was.
That was the best business you could do on a failed fucking project.
That's the best business you could do on a failed project. That's what I'm saying.
He was a failure.
A failure 100%. Would I have liked him to stay? Absolutely, I would have liked him.
Yeah, because he's better than 90% of your players.
I hated that we sold him because he brought a lot of pace and a lot of class to the team that we saw in the early matches, but he just wasn't living up to it, and they cut their losses. In life, sometimes it's better to do that than to sit out and wait for something to mature. And you know, it was just
I think that's a really bad like precedent to set for like players to come in. I mean, even players like Mascherano that have come in, like post Xabi Alonso at Liverpool Football Club, have come in and been able to hold down that holding midfielder role. Mm-hmm. You know, and being able to assimilate to that and
okay,
whatever
but
else. And it doesn't matter what manager is there, whether it's Benitez, whether it's Rodgers, whether it's Dalglish, whether
sure
it's
matters.
You know, whether it's Roy Hodgson.
I don't know.
All these players, like all these managers are coming
I feel like
but,
Mr. Huff Nasty is drawn to that team for some reason.
But I think that like even like a Christian, you know, Paulson or whatever else, like under Hodgson, it's like you're still like playing this kind of Lucas Leiva role, this holding role that you need. Like I think the club, it's a prime example that the club is bigger than the player.
Are you trying to
like
draw
Manchester
a comparison
United,
to the current?
Manchester United at this point are sending players that are just like these superstars, and I quite frankly I think that it's not necessarily.
What, you need more
like,
academy
not,
products? Everybody wants more academy products if they
academy
can.
Academy, but no, you're spinning over the ends for to just get someone like a name that's going to sell
but
jerseys.
You're talking about that. Well, you're a fucking Liverpool fan. Like you guys don't just buy to try to have someone.
Oh,
who does
Coutinho.
Like that.
Okay, so how many fans wanted to buy a Coutinho kit 2 years?
Plenty.
Ago?
Yeah, lots of teams are looking
before,
at it.
Whenever he came from...
Yeah,
plenty.
Lots of teams are looking at it.
Really?
Lots of
really?
Teams
really?
Are looking at
it. Yeah, absolutely. Sure, I had no idea why Jordan he... Knight. I had no idea... No, Jordan...
Raheem Sterling.
No, Jordan Ibe, no. And Sterling, no. But you guys had Sterling since
Andy
he was a
Carroll.
Fucking kid.
How many kids to Andy Carroll sell?
Well, to Scousers, probably a fucking millions of them because they're fucking
idiots.
There are
many
and Scousers
across
their money
the world,
kind of
too,
shit.
Man.
Exactly.
Yeah, many.
So plenty of them would do that. But Coutinho, look, we saw him at Inter, and when I saw he was going to Liverpool,
oh,
what
really?
The fuck is he doing?
You thought he was
going to
be as good as he is?
Yes. Fuck yes. His dodgy-ass haircut at Inter.
It's
he
true.
Looked like the shit, and I was like, why the fuck are they selling their best young player?
Everyone
and
was
of all
pissed
those, and of all those things, going to fucking Liverpool with no Champions League made no sense to me.
Everyone was pissed
no way
that
you
he
thought,
got it.
No way you thought he was ever going to be as good as he was.
Go back to the Pinecast like 3 years ago.
Okay,
and
let's also wait on how good he's going to be. Let's also hold off on that decision.
I think he's probably their best player right now.
I agree, but how?
But I mean,
will
they
he reach
keep,
the heights
they keep
of
losing
Luis
all
Suarez?
Their best players.
Will he reach the heights of Luis Suarez?
No, but that's not.
There you go.
But he's not a fucking Luis Suarez. I mean, what? Luis Suarez is a top five player in the world.
Where does he play?
Absolutely.
Where does he play in the park? What number does he play?
Number 10.
Number 10.
Yeah.
Why is he bagaging so much of Gerrard's responsibilities then?
Because you guys choose to give your fucking captaincy to Jordan fucking Henderson. Jordan Henderson is your captain.
You took it away from Martin Skrtel, too.
He's not making things happen.
Jordan
Daniel Agger, if
you
want to. You
will never win a title with Jordan Agger
further back. We're talking about Martin Skrtel right here, who deservedly so should have had the captaincy.
Daniel Agger really should have been the next captain of Liverpool, should have been playing in the midfield.
Yeah, but he's not. I don't understand why we're going to that. Like, you know what I mean? We're talking
about
players that are on the
field. You basically had Barcelona that we're in from, right? And basically he got 6 months.
All right. I don't give a fuck about Liverpool. This is not a Liverpool podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about West Ham.
You know what I mean? Like, we're going to leave that alone. All right? Coutinho is a big talent. He's the best player you currently have.
That no one else knew much about.
No, plenty of people knew about him at Inter Milan.
Okay, at Inter.
Yeah, at Inter. At Inter Milan, before he came to your team.
This is
yes.
not an Inter Milan podcast.
It's not either. But I'm saying we knew about him. Yeah. Okay, and he's a great player, good talent. When it was anonymous the other day, but he scored the winning goal with the class that we know he has. So that's good and great. Let's move ahead to the weekend. coming up. A few big matches. We were talking about City facing Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Currently without Courtois because of a red card.
Mm-hmm. Begovic.
Yep, so Begovic is in between the sticks. Experienced Premier League goalkeeper should be able to deputize fine. It's only going to come down to the moments where they need the extra, extra class that will really define the difference between the two. Wow. Because the thing is, Courtois is able and capable, mm-hmm. and I believe rightly so, was chosen ahead of Peter Cech last season mm-hmm. as the new goalkeeper for Chelsea, and they won a title with him.
But
so.
You still have his line leading him, though. You still have Terry. You still have Ivanovic.
Sure.
You still have Cahill.
Going into the weekend.
Cahill. Where's he from?
I believe he's Turkish.
you still have a lot of
but going into the weekend, I mean, the fact that they've lost Courtois, what strategy do you think they're going to employ going into Manchester? Yeah, playing in Manchester.
If they lose
what
this
strategy
game,
do you
knowing
think
Mourinho's
if they lose this game.
Let's say we all. Let's say we're all very familiar with Jose Mourinho's style. What do you think he's going to bring to the City match?
You mean his bus?
He's going to park it right there in front of Begovic. And that's why, yeah, you can hedge your bets on that guy. But it's not really going to fall down to his ability over the back four that he has.
I mean, if Chelsea loses next game, how many points are they going to be behind Manchester City? They could potentially be, 5 points behind them. In the best case scenario for them, right?
It's an early hole.
So it's a very early hole that they're going to have to do this without of. And, like, I don't see that really being anything they can really deal with. I mean, 5 points is a massive hole to dig yourself out of in the first 2 weeks.
I mean, they do.
All right,
well, together.
Let's get to predictions. Who's going to win City versus Chelsea? Go with you, Mark.
Man, I mean, considering that they're going to park the bus.
Give me a score.
Considering they're going to park the bus, I would say 0-0. I'd say Mourinho's going to grind it out, man. He's going to grind it out like he always has in these situations.
All right, and Kyle?
Especially when he goes to Manchester. That's exactly what he likes to do.
I'm going to say 2-1.
To who?
Manchester City, I think. Raheem Sterling's going to come in.
Of course he would.
And choice glass.
Of course he would. That's great. You know, I hope we see that. I mean, look, I fucking hate Chelsea. I really don't care about City because I hate United. So if anyone has to win. Yeah, of course. And I hate you and your team. So therefore, it makes it easy for me. So yeah, City all day. I hope it's Sterling just to make Liverpool fans cry. I'm gonna back your bet. I believe 2-1 to City is the proper prediction. I think they will pull it off. They're looking in better form. Chelsea are reeling while Mourinho is trying to fucking deflect. So fuck that guy and let's see City for the win. But I will best preferred scoreline, I think, for all of us is a draw.
Yeah.
Both teams drop points. 2-1 City.
Most importantly, they play out a 90-minute match where they expose their weaknesses in front of the world.
We're gonna see a goal. We're gonna see goals from Sterling and Yaya Toure. Yaya, by the way, bring it out.
Barn door if you want.
I saw. Well, he pussyfoot shit. He has that little starry ass soft side foot.
Could have had two goals in that match.
Yep, totally could have. All right. So other key matches. All right. How do you feel, Mark? Do you think you guys are going to beat Aston Villa? You're on the road at Aston Villa. They just beat AFC Bournemouth. Bournemouth. Sorry.
I do.
Give me a score.
I think we're going to take it to them 2-0.
2-0. All right.
Nice and easy.
Kyle.
Liverpool football.
No.
United.
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 Yeah. Aston Villa.
At Villa.
Who the fuck cares? I think Villa have a very, very strong squad. I think that you guys are going to have, like, a very difficult time with them. I can see, Manchester United maybe nicking a result there.
Off an own goal?
Maybe. wait to stick by something. Give me a prediction. There's going to be a draw, a win, what? This is the Pinecast, man.
1-0 Manchester United.
All right, I'm going to go 1-1 Villa United. Ooh. I'm going for the draw. Home draw for Villa. Fuck United. They're dropping points. They're not looking good yet. I'm going to go there. A couple of the
Lucky
big matches. Let's go Liverpool. Liverpool faced Bournemouth. AFC Bournemouth, who just lost against Villa this past week. I'm going to go for a 2-0 home win for Liverpool. Bournemouth have a lot of – they've got a bit of spunk to them. They showed some life, but I don't think they're that great. Kyle, your prediction for your club.
1-0 Liverpool Football Club.
Who scores?
Christian Benteke.
Benteke. I'm going to go with Benteke brace in my 2-0. Mark.
Benteke
Teke bracing the 2-0. I'm going to have to agree with your scoreline. I don't see Liverpool scoring too many goals against this team, but I don't see Bournemouth scoring any goals against Liverpool.
And Benteke's so going to be too much.
Let's Lovren starts.
2-0. 2-0. Maybe Benteke gets a goal. And Jordan Henderson, penalty.
I like that.
There you go.
I like that very much.
Yeah. All right. And we got it. We only have a couple matches left. We don't care about the rest of them, really, outside of the Arsenal match.
Crystal Palace, right?
Yeah, Arsenal are on the road against Palace. Palace are a team that come in with some moving pieces. It's a dangerous match on the road. I think they're going to rebound, though. I think it's going to be 2-1 to the Arsenal. I'm going to go with a Oxlade-Chamberlain and a Walcott goal. Move on to you, Kyle. What's your pick there?
I really think that this is the type of game that Arsenal are going to be showing their I don't even know how to say it. Like, just kind of like the rear guard, where I think Giroud is going to start. He's going to get an early goal, and I think that Palace are going to come into the game as it evolves. I think that Palace have way too solid of a squad and have been in the Premiership for a minute too long. But I think that the Palace are really going to come into the game as it evolves. And you know, definitely Caballé has been good for one or two. A good friend once told me, and it has been doing me well at least. But quite frankly, there's too many new people that are coming in, just like Stoke City. I think that Crystal Palace are also investing in their squad at a reasonable rate. Not necessarily pissing money away, so but
what's the score?
I can't change. I can't change from last week, so I'm gonna go ahead and go 2-0.
2-0 to Crystal Palace. Oh boy, would I love to see that. But you know what? I still say Arsenal drop points. 2-2. Alexis Sanchez getting a goal. Jared? Nah, not Jared. Maybe Ramsey, exactly. And then on the other, on the flip side, Caballé carrying in his form into the second match, 2 assists. Maybe one to Dwight Gale. Caballé, 2 assists. I think that's fair. 2-2, Arsenal Crystal Palace.
We can finally agree on something, right?
Yeah.
Well, you said 2-0. You didn't say 2-2, so I don't see this agreement. But, you know, all right, you guys are both...
He's talking about the Caballé excelling. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, I think we're going to leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for joining. You can follow these fine fellows on Twitter. You can follow Mark at Cuninho88 if you really feel like hearing the musings of a Man United fan.
Oh, they're great.
From Singapore. There is the one Kyle Huff Nasty, who you can follow at Kyle Huff Nagel. Check his handle.
That's N-A-G-L-E, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the Huff Nasty is spelled H-U-F-N-A-G-E-L. That's how we spell nasty these parts.
I heard about
and,
that.
And, so look, we're looking forward to another action, some more action in the Premier League, more stuff kicking off this week, plenty of stuff for us to talk about in the weeks coming up on the Morning Pint and here on the Pintcast. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
shit, I'm fucked up. I'm